words spoken to me. Father, you put me back together again, and I want to tell you I've not forgotten what to do. And as I recall how my so-called friends walked away, you helped me smile again and helped me find a brand new day. And as I think about your love for me, I just can't understand, because the way it stood by me showed that you're really a friend. I just can't thank you enough for the joy inside. The love is invaluable. How you have changed my life. It's seldom in life that you find this kind of love. And I just can't thank you enough. Thinking about the times we've had, didn't come home, and it made you sad. I just want you to know that I recognize the love that you show. And if I had 1,000 days just to sing about you, I can never get it all out, because that's how much I love you. Mother, you've always been right by my side, and I wanna take a little moment and try.
With me, Madge Obaseki, and evangelist Linda Kazres. That was Wes Morgan. I can't thank you enough, and we can't thank you enough, oh God. And as I put this show before you, I want to pray and thank you for the privilege and the honor of us gathering together here on this broadcast to learn how we can expand your kingdom. Thank you particularly for the visionary of this broadcast, Evangelist Linda, who's running with your vision to reach your children globally. It's a privilege, it's an honor to serve you in this way, and we don't take it for granted at all. Merciful and ever-living God, maker of heaven and earth, you are the God who never sleeps and you never slumber. You're the Alpha and you are the Omega. You are the Am that I am, the God of all gods. Thank you, mighty Father, for your power and your presence, which is so awesome. through this broadcast, Father, we put it before you and we pray that there will be enlightenment for your sons, for your daughters, who are various leaders, whether they're in churches, whether they're in ministries, or whether they're in Christian businesses. And we pray by the end of this series of 5 weeks that there will be more clarity in their purpose and calling as leaders. May the zeal to make disciples in every area of their ministries, the churches, or even their businesses come to light and release others to further your mission in their respective places. I pray in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit lead us now. May your leaders continue to walk in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in whatever capacity they're in. And now we pray over the airways and the equipment. We pray over the internet. We pray over the phone lines so that there will be no break in transmission. And Father, who art in heaven, we hand this broadcast over to you to take total and absolute control. Thank you for your everlasting presence, for in Jesus' precious and matchless name we pray. And I believe the people are saying amen and amen to that. So I will say good morning if you happen to be in London, where I'm based at the moment, or anywhere in Europe. Good morning. Good afternoon if you're in other parts of the world, and good evening to my American cousins there. This is Madge Abasaki. I am speaking on Blog Talk Radio for Gatekeepers Ministry with Evangelist Linda Cazares, and she's actually very kindly controlling the dial for me tonight. So wherever you are in the world, you are very, very welcome to this series called How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader. We decided to do 5 weeks on this because Christian leadership, any leadership, is extremely important. As we said last week, that things rise and fall on leadership, according to John Maxwell, and we believe that's very, very true. Now, before we get going with the show, I'll just tell you that tonight we're actually live on Twitter. Now, if you're a Twitter follower and you want to ask any questions or perhaps make any comments about the show, then you can use the hashtag Greatest Christian Leader and hook up with us or at GrowTheChurchN. So that's Grow the Church and then the letter N for November. That's our Twitter handle. So I want to introduce you to this channel, which is Gatekeepers, and the visionary is Evangelist Linda Cazares. Now, her website is watchwomanonthewall.com. And to the glory of God, she has just released, I would say it was about 8 months ago, and it's her first book, and it's called How to Win a Soul to Christ.com. Visit that website, and you can actually buy the book there as well. I would recommend it because that is one of our missions. Actually, we're talking about mission today, aren't we? So that's one of our missions, to win souls for Christ. And also, you can always log in to other shows on Gatekeepers Ministry Radio at blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. Now, as I said, if you've got any questions or comments, hook up with us at Twitter, and it's GrowTheChurchN, and use the hashtag, if you can, Greatest Christian Leader. Now, we're going to talk about several things today, but one thing is I would like to remind you, because typically I'm a trainer, so what we do is we review what we've done before to see how much we've learned. And because I can't talk to you directly, I just wanted to remind you, if you were listening last week, or indeed if you listened to the replay, what we'd spoken about, and if you had missed it, where you can get the replay from. So what we talked about last week was your leadership style and how it impacts. And there were four leadership styles that we spoke about: the autocrat, the democrat, the laissez-faire, and the corporate leader. We talked about the advantages and the disadvantages of each. I shared some tips if you happen to be falling in one of those categories. Now, if you heard it but want the presentation, email us at admin@growthechurchnow.com. That's admin@growthechurchnow.com. Or if you missed it, we can send an MP3 to your inbox. And again, you need to email us and request that at admin@growthechurchnow.com. But you can also visit our own radio station page, which is mixcloud.com/growthechurchnow.com. So today we're talking about why your vision, mission, and objectives are key. But I want to tell you a little bit about myself first, because if you've never encountered me or haven't heard about me or our organization before, I think it's important you know about that. So I'm a minister, an author. I am also a training specialist, which means I deliver training face-to-face online, and I'm a public speaker. I've had quite a long corporate career. Well, 3 decades is quite long, isn't it? And I was a training and development specialist. However, after hearing a sermon about my gift making a way for me, I started to serve in my local church, but went through 2 burnouts. But I learned a hell of a lot of lessons, and I believe that it was divinely set up for me to do what I'm doing now, which is walking in my purpose and calling. One of the reasons why that burnout happened is because the harvest is full, but the laborers are few. And that's mostly because there's poor governance and a lack of organization. And that's what I found in the times that I have actually been the director or the co-director of GrowTheChurchNow.com, which is part of Future Hope Legacy Limited. And I run that with my husband, Apostle C. Abasaki. So I've been serving the church for 30-odd years, and I equip church workers, church leaders, and their organizations, including Christian businesses, to really improve and be more effective. I work with church leaders and ministry heads and Christian businesses to help them address challenges such as retention or lack of it, growth, training volunteers and staff, both in the UK and the USA. So that's enough about me. But so today's topic is vision, mission, and objectives. And why is it key to leadership? Well, I'm going to share with you what the Bible says about this. And first of all, I've picked Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So where there's no vision, the people perish. We'll come back to that. Psalm 127:1, except Jehovah builds the house, they labor in vain that they build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So that's kind of aligned to mission, if you like. And then the last verse that I've chosen to align with objectives is Proverbs 24:27, and that's, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. So it's very strategic, and it's preparing to do that. What I find is that sometimes the churches and ministries and Christian businesses that I've been working with, they have come up with a fantastic vision. They've come up with a fantastic mission, which hopefully is from God direct. But they don't work out how they're going to get there, and that's where things fall down. So first of all, I want to talk to you about the whole overall idea of vision, mission, and objectives, and why it is absolutely key to leadership. You see, I've got this saying, if you don't know where you're going, how will you get there? How would you get there? You need a roadmap. Well, these days, it's not a map, is it? It's a GPS. And, you know, over the years, I've seen churches drift from 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, year after year, month after month, week after week, without any strategy, without any goal, and ultimately with no real vision in sight. There's nothing. Nothing written down and nothing shared amongst the workers, the volunteers, the staff, the leaders. So what happens is there's this firefighting mode that takes over. They're constantly battling to fulfill and or to address some of the challenges that might come up. And there's no real clear record of what's been achieved. A lack of vision really contributes, I think, to a church or a ministry or a business not impacting its congregants, its laities, its clients or customers. And that's a really serious thing, because we have been admonished by Matthew 18:19-20. So we really need to focus on our collective mission as children of God, as believers in the faith. As a result of this lack of focus, the result is that the spiritual growth that you need for individuals, to see in individuals so that they're discipled, and the physical growth that churches should be focusing on. I know some people beg to differ that it's not about the number, it's about the quality, and I agree with that. But if we carried on like that, you know, we might have a situation where we're reducing inside as a faith. I believe the two go together, but before you can get physical growth, you must prepare people spiritually. They must grow as disciples, much in the way that Jesus, as I mentioned last week in Matthew 10:1, prepared his disciples, and once he'd realized they were ready, he gave them the power and the authority to go out and duplicate what he did. Now, leaders I've worked with are often forgotten that when the vision and the mission are written, and no one actually understands it because it's never been shared, never really comes to pass, because people don't understand it, or they don't even know, because in some cases the leader has it in their minds, but it's not very well communicated. Now, in today's show, I'm going to touch on that, and I'm going to give you some really good tips on how you can keep the communication going in this extremely key area. So, vision. And as I read out before, without vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. In other words, there may be confusion. If people don't know where they're going, as we said, they won't know how they can get there. So as a leader, we set the temperature. And the way we can do that is, first of all, by committing it in writing with your other leaders, with responsible members of laity and even congregants, if you like. And Habakkuk 2:2 reminds us of why that is. write the vision and make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Amen to that. So from that verse, what I've gleaned is that that's the really big picture. In fact, if you look at that last bit, it says, it may seem slow, but wait for it. Surely it will come. It will not delay. So it means if we're focused, we are working towards a vision, and the vision's so big. Vision, for me, I don't know about you, but vision for me needs to be really big. You need to be constantly stretching towards that vision. And let me give you an example of that. Christian Aid, and I believe many of you from wherever you are in the world would be familiar, very big international charity called Christian Aid. And they have a vision, and it's simply to end poverty. Now, that's huge, isn't it? Because the implications of that is that everybody's going to have something to eat, no matter where they are in the world. Well, as we know, there are countries that are war-torn. Other countries are suffering from economic crisis, and yet others, it's to do with their politics. So it's a very big goal and may outlast that organization or the current incumbents. So that's why it's such a big vision. Now, let me give you another example, and that's for the organization that I co-direct, growthechurchnow.com. We have got a vision for every church assembly to grow physically and spiritually to expand God's kingdom. Another huge vision. How many churches can we get to? But we want to get to as many churches, as many ministries and Christian businesses as possible to expand God's kingdom. So that's vision. It's big and it needs to be. Now, can I ask you, how do you develop your vision? Where did it come from? How did you communicate it? Well, the first thing I'd say is it really has to come from God. Your vision has to be God-given. It may be a direct message. It could be a dream or a vision that you've seen yourself. But it could be through a third party, perhaps a prophet or a word that comes from the Word of God, the Bible. It could be motivated by the issues that you're surrounded by. For example, if you have a church and a local community where there is particular suffering or a particular issue and challenge that affects a lot of the people in that area, then perhaps that would become part of the vision. It's the sort of thing, it's the sort of issue that might keep you awake at night. You can't stop thinking about it. Those things are tied up with vision. So how do you develop your vision? Has it come from God? Was it God-given? Now, I want to take a break at this point, but when I come back, I'm going to be talking about mission and objectives with tips on how you can keep your momentum going. I'm Madge Abasaki. I'm here on Blog Talk Radio for Gatekeepers Ministry, and I will see you after the break.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
I've got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings. And so many open doors of right to my feet. I am within new days. That's why.
worship the Lord. I worship him. Come on, he's brought you over some mountain. Come on, tell him thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. That's it, let's worship the Lord. He desires our praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at GrowTheChurchNow.com. That's GrowTheChurchNow.com.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Madge Abasaki, the Healthy Church Growth Advocate at GrowTheChurchNow.com. And I am on Gatekeepers Radio, and it's Gatekeepers Ministry Radio with Evangelist Linda, who is actually on the dials at the moment. She's being our producer, doing a fantastic job. That was Kurt Carr, and that's why I praise you. And we praise God for all the opportunities that he's providing for us to expand his kingdom. Now, if you want to keep in touch, ask a question, make a comment, why not log into our Twitter account now at GrowTheChurchN. That's GrowTheChurchN. And if you want to use a hashtag, then the hashtag is Greatest Christian Leader. If you'd like a copy of the MP3 after this show, then email admin@growthechurchnow.com. That's admin@growthechurchnow.com. Or just visit the website and subscribe, and we'll send you updates of our blogs and our forthcoming online course. So before the break, we talked about vision and the big picture and what that would look like, and shared some biblical verses. And now we want to go on to mission. Now, I coin this as the reason and the purpose for doing what we do. And again, I take you back to Matthew 28:19, often dubbed the Great Commission. It's debated as to where that's come from, because it isn't necessarily biblical as such, but it is a commission nonetheless, and it tells us about the reason and the purpose that we're here. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So that's the commission we've been given. That's the mission. So what is mission? How would we explain a mission? Well, as I mentioned, the reason and the purpose for doing what you do, it's drawn from the vision. And the two often, I found, especially when I run workshops or courses, I find that people often get mission and vision mixed up, but they are significantly different, but both as important as each other. So let me give you an example to make it easier to tell you. If we look at the original vision that was written for growthechurchnow.com, it says, for every church assembly to grow physically and spiritually to expand God's kingdom. So now if you remember that, now we've taken that example, and now we're saying how, why we're going to do that. The reason and the purpose we're doing that is to empower and equip church and ministry leaders across the world. That's number one. Number two, we're saying to assist leaders in becoming more effective and efficient. And number three, to facilitate growth strategies. So those are the three missions that we've chosen. And it's significant that there are three there. What I found as well when I'm working with churches to improve their effectiveness is the first thing I ask for is, so what's your vision and what's your mission look like? And usually I find in the majority of cases they could be two pages long. Now, nobody's going to remember anything with sort of a two-page long document. So it needs to be very short and sharp, and that's why I feel three is quite manageable. People can remember. And if you highlight keywords, as we've done, we've highlighted empower, equip, assist, effective, efficient, and growth strategies. And that way people can pinpoint exactly where they are and how they can fit in to that mission. So let me tell you, how do you develop your mission? Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, I believe it does need to be drawn from the vision, or neither will make sense, really. And because we decided to concentrate on key areas, we can look at those. We tend to revisit every sort of 6 to 8 months, see where we are and what our progress is. And if you have people around you who are perhaps volunteers, they could be other leaders, your staff, if you're hiring them, or even consultants that can help you, then you can look at it in a global way. How are you impacting? How far are you getting towards building up to your ultimate vision? Are you near? Are you far? Do you need to change it in any way? So each statement, as I said, needs to be short, it needs to be sharp, it needs to be memorable, which everyone can remember, including your volunteers, your leaders, your staff, and those who are accessing your ministry business or your Christian business if it's in the secular realm. So let's look at objectives, and this is the one that usually gets completely missed out of the plan of quite a lot of ministries or churches, particularly in my experience. So they've got to the vision, and actually it could be quite nice and short and sharp. They've got to the mission, and again, nice, short and sharp. But what they've forgotten to do sometimes is actually work out how they're going to achieve the mission, particularly. So let me draw your attention to Luke 14, 28 to 29. It says, supposing one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first consider the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. God forbid that they will ridicule you. But you see what that verse is saying? It's saying that you really need to plan this stuff beforehand. You need to make sure that you make those considerations. And in thinking about your mission, it's great to say, I'm going to empower and I'm going to assist. But how are you going to do that? That's what objectives are all about. Now, again, I'm going to share with you Proverbs 24:27. It says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. So you've got your vision, and we spoke about that before the break. You've got your mission. I spoke about that just now. And now you need to prepare by thinking, okay, I have my vision, I have my mission, but how am I going to make it come to fruition? Now, I believe these verses that I've just read to you, Luke 14, 28 to 29, and Proverbs 24, 27, are not only the goals, which are also objectives, so objectives can be called goals in a way, but the strategy behind it. So objectives. As I said, they can be called goal settings. Objectives are goals over a shorter period of time. So it could be you've got your mission, your big mission, but then you think, okay, we need to do a smaller part of that mission. How do we do it? It could be over 3 months, over 6 months. It could be even a year that you've got an objective. I ran a workshop with some churches fairly recently. And what I got them to do as part of the workshop, the day's workshop, is work out what each branch, there were six branches there, I got them to work out what their objectives would be from the time I saw them until the next financial year, depending on what country you are, it might be the next tax year, so that they could see and then revisit to see how much they had achieved and why they may not have achieved it. So it's a really good way of tracking your progress. Now, as I said, it's over a shorter period of time, and the very good way of making sure that you meet your objectives is to be even more specific. And we use something called, and some of you would have heard this term, SMART objectives. Now, what are SMART objectives? These are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound objectives, time-bound goals, if you like, relevant goals, specific goals, measurable goals, and achievable goals, if you want to use the word goal. So you need to be prepared to adjust your objectives because things do change. So let's look at how we can break it down into SMART objectives so that you've got a chance of actually achieving them. So, as I said, specific, and I'm going to break this down in terms of a very typical church. You need, for instance, to be very specific, and you've decided that you want to increase your attendance. So that's very, very, you want to increase your weekly attendance. So actually, that's not only specific, in a way that can be termed as measurable because you've got the word weekly there. However, we can break it down even more. We can talk about measurable being by 100 people. So we want to increase our weekly attendance, and under measurable, under the SMART objectives, by 100 people. Now, achievable, part of the SMART, we call it a mnemonic, is achievable is using personal invitations from members. So we're breaking this down into three now. So using personal invitations to get these 100 people on a weekly attendance basis, increase the use of social media, and start a radio broadcast as we're doing now. So you can see now how that's building up, can't you? Now, under R, under the SMART, the R is relevant, and it says in our local branch, because there might be other branches. And actually, you could say what branch it is. For example, if you were in part of America and you're listening in and you're in New York and you have a district within New York, you can actually say that's the branch if you've got more than one branch. And then the time-bound bit, that's the last bit of the SMART objectives. You want to achieve this by April 2019. So let me go over that again. You've got specific, you're going to increase the weekly attendance. You've got the measurable by 100 people. So you want to increase it by 100 people by April 2019, because you've already said that. Achievable, so this is how you're going to achieve it. You're going to get your members to send out personal invitations to all their contacts. You're going to increase your social media, and you're going to start your radio broadcast. And then the relevance is that it is in that local branch, whatever, wherever that branch is. And as I said at the end, time bound. So you've decided that by April 2019, you will achieve that. Now, once you've actually committed that, what you need to do is to have a system whereby you can check that you are actually achieving those particular objectives. And that comes with communication with your staff, with your workers, your volunteers, and whoever supports the ministry, and planning the strategy, which comes around the A, the achievable bit. So this is when a leader needs to really delegate these strategies to the appropriate staff or volunteers. A leader cannot do this by themselves. In fact, it's not recommended because you need some sort of continuity. Leader, for me, needs to have a good overview so that they can step back and actually look to see what might be going wrong and actually give the advice. So you're actually looking at it as almost as an overseer, if you like, and you've got various people that you have delegated to in each of the particular areas that you've identified. So, e.g., we mentioned members sending out personal invitations. You won't leave that to chance. You'll probably have somebody who's specifically in charge of that area. It could be you could set up a department as member services, for example. And in the social media, it would tend to be your media department. But are they skilled? Do they need training? These are all the issues that you need to think about. With the radio show, is it going to cost money? You need to put those things into perspective when you're dealing with your objectives. So today we've talked about vision, mission, and objectives. And before I wrap up this particular episode, I want to say something very key, because I have noticed that the reason why the objectives are the mission and the objectives are not necessarily reached is because the communication can be very, very poor. And I think this is absolutely key. You know, I work with leaders in ministry, as I told you at the beginning. And one of the first questions I ask them is, what's your vision? What's your mission? Usually I find they possibly don't have their objectives in place. I also ask them, very importantly, who wrote them. Because the thing is, if a leader's writing these on their own, it's going to be difficult for other people to buy in to the vision, the mission, and possibly the objectives. And remember, with objectives, there are other people who have to make sure that it's carried out. Otherwise, it won't happen. Now, if you want people to run with the vision, as the verse says, then you need to involve them from the start, or it might not be achieved. The goals or the objectives are the same. Since, you know, as a leader, you're probably not going to do that work yourself, but you are going to oversee it, so you need to make sure that you've got that in place. I would recommend that you always revisit your objectives on a regular basis. Don't try to do too many things. As I said, three major objectives in a year is actually quite enough. And I'm admonishing you, do not do the blame game, because usually there are a myriad of reasons why things are not working. You will have to make changes. I did hint that before, didn't I? You need to make changes sometimes and adjust them. It might be that the wrong people are working on the project. It may be that you haven't put enough budget in or haven't even considered that you need to pay out for something. Or it could just be that it is the wrong way to go. So let me recap and we'll round up. And I'm going to tell you what's happening next week in this 5-week series called How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader. So to recap, your vision should be God-given and it can't be self-serving. Mission comes from your vision and it's the reason and the purpose of you doing what you do. But how you achieve your objectives or your goals is drawn from your mission. And you must make sure that you have some sort of strategy, as we've briefly talked about, like, for instance, the invitations, etc. Now, if you've got any questions for me and you want me to clarify anything, you can always email our admin@growthechurchnow.com. That's admin@growthechurchnow.com. We can also release for you an MP3 of this show so that you can remind yourself of the key points. But next week, I will be sharing information tips and biblical perspectives on getting your team to work with you. I know some people think it's a foregone conclusion that people are going to work for them because that's what they do. However, there are tips and techniques for making sure that they're actually supporting your mission and the objectives that you set. Now, follow us on Grow the Church Now N, and that's on Twitter, or you can link up with us on LinkedIn, which is Grow the Church Now. Or as I said before, you can email us at admin@growthechurchnow.com. So join me again, Madge Abasaki from growthechurchnow.com, for How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader on Thursday, the 14th of June, 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central for this series. Thank you for listening. God bless. God keep you, and God watch over you and go before you.